Amen. Let's get into the word. Turn with me, if you will, to the gospel according to John, chapter 12. Going to be reading verses 12 through 16. Again, that is the gospel according to John, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 12. Verses 12 through 16, I'd ask out of reverence for the reading of God's word that all who are physically able, please stand. There are many translations of God's word. Today I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. Let's see what it has to say for us today. Amen. Hear ye the word of the Lord. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, the disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that the things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Pray with me, please. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, God who has brought us thus far along the way. Lord God, here I am, but your humble servant once again behind your sacred desk, coming to preach your word. Hide me behind your cross, Lord God. Allow me to decrease and you increase. Let every word that I speak and thought that I think be acceptable in your sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, for the time that we get to spend together today, I would like to talk a little bit about a king's entrance. A king's entrance. A little secret about me. I am not a big fan of parades. Never really liked them. I'm not a big fan of parades. I feel like it takes too long to get there. You only get to see a piece of it. And there's always somebody who got there like hours before. So you're kind of waiting in the back. So I don't like to go to parades. Interestingly enough, though, having been in a bunch of fraternal organizations and political stuff, I end up in parades. And I realize I like being in the parade more than I like sitting around waiting for the parade to come. There are a couple places I've lived when they had parades, they blocked the entrance in and out my subdivision. So I wasn't a big fan of it, but if they're in the right spot and I got enough candy to throw out, I like being in the parades. I know I'm in the minority though, right? A lot of people like parades. They're always packed out whenever there's a parade going. And I know in my house, I'm in the minority because my wife and my kids all love parades. Yeah. And parades are nationally televised events. They will preempt regular scheduled programming in order to show a parade. Some of the more popular parades in the United States, you got the Macy's Thanksgiving parade. You've got the Rose Parade, Mardi Gras, that's a parade. St. Patrick's Day in New York City apparently is a major parade, and Disneyland Resort has a parade in Anaheim that is good. Chicago's Thanksgiving Day Parade, Philadelphia's Thanksgiving Day. There are a bunch of parades that people will go to and watch them. And they even put parades in movies. The parades attract large crowds and have significant or cultural or historical significance. I've watched quite a few Robin Hood movies, and it seems like every Robin Hood movie, there is a parade for Lionheart or King Richard I of England. In preparing for this sermon, I learned the reason for that parade. They were doing these things during that time called Crusades, not Christianity's brightest historical moment, but it is one nonetheless. A crusade during that time where Christians hopped on boats with swords and weapons and decided they were going to go to other countries to teach them the gospel of Christ. And if they didn't get down, they was gonna have to lay down. Mind you, you never know how good somebody is at fighting until you fight them. And sometimes those crusades didn't work out. And so King Richard left for home on a crusade and tried to go to Germany, and it didn't work out because the French and the Germans did not like England at that time. And so he tried to pass through Germany in disguise, but his identity was uncovered. And the German Emperor Henry VI, there'll be a quiz on this after service. Henry VI caught him, like, your disguise ain't fooling anybody, Richard, and threw him in prison and said that he was not going to let King Richard go until the English people raised 150,000 German marks, which at that time would have been around $17 million today. So it was a king's ransom. And when the king was in prison, the people paid the price. And so all over England, they had fish dinners and potlucks. No, they raised taxes. That's how they raised the money. They raised taxes to get King Richard out of prison. They increased taxes by about 25%. And gold and silver treasures from the cathedrals and everything were melted down. And finally, King Richard went free. And when he finally came home, when the king came home, they put on a parade. And that is the parade that is shown in almost every Robin Hood movie when King Richard Lionheart, for his bravery, is coming home. But we see another parade going on in the text here in the gospel according to John. There is a king that is coming home. This story is actually in all four gospels. It's one of very few stories that are in all four gospels. It's in the gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 11. It's in the gospel according to Mark, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 10. And the gospel according to Luke, chapter 20, verses 29 through 40. All of those passages of scripture list a triumphant entry for Jesus coming into Jerusalem. But along with the gospel according to John, you know, there are some differences. The gospel according to John is the only one that mentions palm branches. And that's how we end up with Palm Sunday, right? Because this is the only one that mentions everyone else. They're tying together cords and branches, and they don't mention what kind, but the gospel, according to John, mentions palm branches. Even though the gospel according to John and all of these others cover the same entrance. The gospel according to John, rather, is shorter, but it still hits the points, right? Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And not only Jesus coming into Jerusalem, but he comes in on a donkey. And Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey and the people shout Hosanna. You know, I used to spend some time arguing with people about how they would talk about the Bible contradicting itself. And I just don't anymore, because I've lived long enough to know that if you have four people in the same room and you tell them or you ask them what happened, they all gonna tell you in different ways. Somebody's going to miss one part, the other. Somebody's going to say it in a different order. But the point is, all four of them have said the same thing. And so you have this story, right? Jesus coming in, he's riding a donkey, and the people shout Hosanna. As long as those three things are there, it happens. And so I'll make a few points and I'll get out your way. The first thing I noticed about this text is the parade. Let the church say parade. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem during the Passover. That's the festival they were talking about in the text. It's the Passover. That's how John tracks each year to go by. People were coming into Jerusalem for the Passover, and Jesus is putting on a parade. This isn't the first time there's been a parade going on. Matter of fact, the people of that time would have been used to seeing parades, because when the Romans won battles and wars, they would come home in parades. When the Romans run a war, they would do it, and the government would get thousands of soldiers to walk in lockstep. And not only would they walk in lockstep, there would be some bands playing, some drummers and people hitting horns as they go, and they would shout out things as they walked through the streets. And here comes Jesus with his own parade, just like they've been doing with the Romans. And people would cover the ground for Jesus to walk on, calling back to 2 Kings 9. Jesus was also riding on a donkey, just like that. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees at the time would want Jesus crucified for blasphemy. But the reason the Romans actually crucified him was for sedition. Here you have this person going around being called Lord when Caesar was supposed to be called Lord, being called the Son of God when they said Caesar was the Son of God. Caesar used to walk around with choir singing his praises and hallelujah and all of these things. And so they said, we don't need another king. We got one. We're going to get rid of this one. But John knows that Jesus is showing people that here is your king riding on a donkey. And so there's a parade just like they've been used to. But not only is there a parade, there's some praise. Let the church say praise. They laid out palm branches and waved palm branches. Palm branches were a sign of victory. One of the reasons that John wants to mention that there are palm branches being laid out is because that's not something the Jewish people did during that time. That's why Matthew, Mark, and Luke would not mention it and say that they tied together cords, because they usually were talking to the people who were already believers. You know who did lay out palm branches, though, during parades? The Greeks and the Romans. That's who had palm branches during that time. And so the gospel according to John is letting us know, John is showing us that not only are there Hebrew people calling for the Messiah, but the Greeks and the Romans are starting to follow along too. They are calling for their king. John is the first one also that's different in the rest of the gospels to talk about the king of Israel. Hosanna, Hosanna, the King of Israel. And not only that, he's riding in on a donkey. I I'm about to sound like a prosperity preacher, but I'm just in your book. You know, a lot of times people will look at Jesus riding on a donkey coming into Jerusalem and say that, oh, he's lowering himself. He's just like one of us. Not exactly. Everybody didn't have donkeys back then. I know everybody has either cars or access to the bus or the train or some sort of mode of transportation. But back then, the way most people got around, everybody didn't have donkeys. Matter of fact, not only did everybody not have donkeys, most of the time the only person that rode a donkey was a king. Okay. In your studies, in between service, go look up Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. It will talk about someone coming that is a king and is riding on a donkey humbly. They're humble, but they're still a king. Kings in the Old Testament rode donkeys during peacetime and horses and chariots during war. So John is telling us when Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, he's coming into Jerusalem as a king. A humble king, but a king no less. Kings rode donkeys. And they come up and when they say that, he says, Hosanna, Hosanna. They're quoting Psalm 118. Hosanna means save us. And not only does it mean save us, it means save us now. God, I need you right now. My money is low and bills are due. I need you right now. Save us right now. I can't get my spouse to act right. Save us right now. I don't know what's going on with my child. Save us. Not only save us, but save us right now. Did you know that Jesus wasn't the first person to come into Jerusalem with palm branches, riding on a donkey, and people saying, Hosanna? Several hundred years before Jesus came into Jerusalem, there was a war, a Maccabean war, and a man by the name of Maccabeus fought the Roman government and won some battles and took over the area for about a week or so. He won the battles because they were looking for a militaristic savior. They were looking for someone to free them from the Roman government. They were looking for someone to stop the oppression. And so after he'd won a couple battles and came in, they actually had him and were yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, and laying out branches and laying out their coats for him to walk on because they thought they had found their savior. Until the Roman government called for backup. That was one of the largest militaries in the world at that time, and he might have beat off a couple of battalions or certain squads, and they just got back up, and when backup came, wiped him off the face of the earth. So this wasn't the first time that people would yell out, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us. But this was the right time. I've talked about it. You need the right information from the right person at the right time. This was the right time, not because they were looking or not because they were going to receive a militaristic savior, but because they were going to receive their salvation for their soul. And so there was a parade going on, and then there's praise that's had. But not only was there parade and praise, there was prophecy. Let the church say prophecy. The text says that at first the disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. They didn't realize it then. But they realized it later. When he said that he was going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, they didn't realize it then because they were thinking about construction projects, but he was talking about their soul and access to God. When they talked about where Jesus was going to be born and where he was going to be from and certain things that were going to happen to him, the government was going to be upon his shoulders and he'd be God with us and a wonderful and counselor and Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace. They didn't realize it then, but they started to realize it later. When he said that I'll come and have life and that you may have life and have it more abundantly, they didn't realize it then, but they realized it later. They didn't realize that when he was going to have to get put in false charges and go before these people and get beat with a cat of nine tails and be blindfolded and people hit him and say, prophesy to us, Jesus, tell us which one of us hit you. They didn't realize it then, but they were going to realize it later. They didn't realize it when the people had crowds out here yelling, Hosanna, 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 and later on there were going to be crowds yelling, crucify him. And who do you want? Do you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus? Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. They didn't realize it then, but they realized the prophecy. Now that this person who in the beginning was the Word and was God and was with God and became flesh and dwelled among them, they didn't realize it then, but they were going to realize it later when they were able to, like Thomas, be able to put their hands in the nailed scars and say, my Lord and my God. That was when they were going to realize it. And not only would they realize that part, then they would realize as well that he was coming back again. Everything that was prophesied about him in the Old Testament, he did it. Everything that the prophet said that he was going to do before he came, he did it. The fact that he actually hung, bled, and died for our sins and got up on the third day, he did everything. They may not have realized it on Sunday. They may not have realized it on Thursday. They might have been scared and ran away on Good Friday. But early on that third day, when he got up with all power in his hands, they would realize it then that they had somebody that had come to save them and save them right now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the doors of the church are open and we invite you to come. Pray with me, please. God, I thank you for the word that went forth, for those who heard it and those who may hear it later. That if there is anyone that desires to know Christ Jesus in the pardoning of their sins, that they will ask, what must I do to become saved? Lord God, we ask that your holy word go forth, that it touch your holy people, that those who cry out to be saved will be saved through the work of your Holy Spirit in your holy church for your holy kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We say that the doors of the church are open after every sermon. It's church talk. It's an opportunity to get to know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's also an opportunity, if you already know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to find a church home. I think I can recommend one for you. It is the longest lasting, most important decision you could ever make. Won't you come? As the adage goes, ours to offer, yours to accept or reject. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much for watching this video. Please be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share. Don't forget to connect with me on social media, Pastor Johnny Simpson Jr. on Facebook, at Pastor J. Simp Jr. on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks again for watching, and God bless.